Something for nothing is quite expensive. Something for nothing is quite expensive. This is the thought for today. Dr. Herbert O'Byrley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California. We receive calls every day from people who want something for nothing. They want us to send them the literature for the University of Healing. They want us to send them the syllabus. They want us to send them free books. They want us to send them Bibles. They want us to send them all sorts of materials, and a car even, and a telephone, and many other things. And people ask for many wonderful things, and I think that's just wonderful. However, when you ask for something like that, you have bound yourself to a great responsibility, not us, but you. And if we are foolish enough to give you the free materials, the gist is fine. We give that out, the syllabus and things like that. But if we give you a free book, or if we give you a car, or if we give you a whatever we give you, you have a great responsibility, because you have received something from a spiritual organization, not from me individually or anyone else here individually, because there are no individuals in a spiritual organization. The spiritual organization transcends individuality. It transcends names and individuals. I tell everyone here on campus, when you sign the work as a proctor, sign just proctor. Do not put your name down. I do not want people contacting you and calling you and saying, oh, I want to talk to Ellen, Sylvia, Inga, Dodie, or I want to talk to whomever. We don't want that. Because the minute you build up a personal charisma with you, they're going to expect you to forgive them on their lessons, to forgive them for doing less than perfect. And when you are an anonymous proctor, you can just expect the best out of them and require the best out of them and not be angry with them. There is no personality involved. But the minute you get personal, the minute you have a personal awareness of who the person is, then you think, well, they're my friend. They help me with my problem. They help me through my healing needs. And they're my personal friend. They will certainly come up with $500 for me. They'll certainly come up with a new car. They'll come up with this, that, or the other thing. And that's not true. Because the people that you deal with here at the university are very bad. They're very bad. They do not have a bank account. If they do, they don't belong here. They do not have a credit card. If they do, they don't belong here. They do not have anything. They have no personal possessions. Ellen was telling about her trip into the desert to do her personal introspection in a wonderful journey into the night. A woman alone out on the Mexican desert, on the Mexican border, where international travelers are going through and drug runners are going by here and there. And she goes out there and completely inobvious to anything, because she's not going out there to be aware of drug runners or international travelers. She's not there to be aware of that. She's out there for one thing. That is her own inner self. Now, she made a number of big mistakes. She took a tape recorder along to hear her affirmations. She took along a flashlight to see where she was going, and she may have taken along a booklet. I know Ellen, she usually had some little notebook in her pocket that she wrote in. But she didn't, or she did. But when you go on a retreat, you go virtually naked. You take nothing with you, because you're going out there to listen within. Now, just in the vagueness of your imagination, go with me now, 2,000 years ago, to the deserts of Galilee and Jerusalem and so forth. And here we have this young fellow, 31 years old. His name is Jesus. And he's raised in the country. He knows the country. And he decides, I'm going to go out in the desert. I'm going to meditate. I'm going to listen to the divine within. He takes no water along. He takes no food along. He takes nothing, and he meditates overnight, and he comes back. Or he goes out there for 40 days and 40 nights. That was a good one. With no water, no food, no nothing. And when he came back, he was really pumped up. He was really aware of his divinity. Now, answer me this if you have the capacity to do so. Does God need to go on a meditation? No. So if you know your God, you don't need to do those things. Then you just continuously always act like your divine self. Good? However, if you don't know that you're God, then you go out and you communicate with your divine self in the secrecy of your own heart. And this is what Jesus did when he went through the 40 days and 40 nights. If he was absolutely aware that he was God, he would not have done that. There'd be no reason for that. God doesn't need to go and have time to be alone. You understand that? So once you really know that you're God, you don't need those things. But until the time that you know that you're God, you need those things, you need that time to be alone. And you see, that's a very expensive time, because it's a time of departure. It's a time of letting go of the concept that you are not God. It's very expensive. The concept that you're not God gives you all the freedom in the world to be a human being and be a very fine human being. But it does not give you the right to be God. Only when you give up the concept that you are a human being and not God will you ever be God. Jesus said, I and the Father are one. Whatsoever you ask in my name, it'll be done to you. Now, he didn't say those things in his early ministry. He said those things only later as he became aware of it for himself. You say, but Jesus Christ was God and he was this. Yeah, we all are God. That's true. He was a rather outstanding teacher, a rather outstanding spiritual being who became aware of his divinity and lived it and shared it so beautifully that all the world is blessed by having him walk through the world that they knew. Now, there are many others too. Muhammad himself was the most amazing fellow. He went off by himself to the cave after the inspiration of this angel Gabriel in him. And he went off to this cave and he wrote the entire Quran from Kibr to Kibr. And he wrote a rather outstanding book. You understand? He didn't have a bunch of scribes. He had no typewriters. He had no computers, you know, none of the lovely things that we have today. He had to do it all by hand. And he had no dictionaries to compare with. He had no syllabi to tell him what he was doing. He had to do it all from his inner awareness. And he did that very well. He listened in. He tuned in to his inner awareness and did a great job. You see, having something for nothing is really quite expensive. Expensive in responsibility. Can you get spiritual illumination for nothing? Can you get an illumined body, an illumined mind, an illumined soul for nothing? It exists. It exists. But you see, it's so expensive in what you have to give up to experience it. It's not giving up anything physical. That happens too. But it's giving up the thought that you are not God. See, Jesus said, ye are gods. Giving up that thought that you are not God is the most expensive thing in your life, because when you do that, then you are responsible for every single thought you put in motion. You're responsible now, too. But then you really know it. Because then when you think your thoughts, they're going to be dynamite. So be very careful. Be very careful what you accept for nothing from people. Sometimes you try to be obsequious and go to some great teacher and bow down and kiss his foot and say, teach me what you can. And he'll say, well, you haven't learned a thing. What do you mean? Well, you don't ask me to teach you what I know. You ask me to teach you what you know. You ask me to teach you what you know. Well, how can you teach me what I know? Because I teach you to listen within yourself to the divine teacher within yourself. You see? Very, very potent, very pregnant, very dynamic type of a concept. And not something that people generally think about. They think they go to school to learn knowledge. They don't go to school to learn knowledge. They go to school to learn that they already know everything they're learning. And when they have the awakening, oh my gosh. And that's what you're doing. You're having these OIC experiences all through school where you are becoming aware that you already knew those things. And all of a sudden, you've been saying, I don't know it, I don't know it, I don't know it, I don't know it, I don't know it. And then you stop saying, I don't know it. And you say, 2 times 2 is 4, 2 times 2 is 4, 2 times 2 is 4. And pretty soon you don't say 2 times 2 is 4 anymore. You know it. You know it. And you're not making yourself believe it. You're getting rid of the concept that says you don't believe it. Does that make any sense? You're only getting rid of the concept that says you don't believe it. You're only getting rid of the concept that says that you are not God, that you are not glorious, that you are not wonderful, that you are not fabulous. And what a unfortunate thing to have implanted into our consciousness. As little children, we're always implanted in our consciousness. You're not ready to know this. You're not ready to understand this. You're not ready to hear this. You're not ready to make a decision like that. Your mother and father had to make decisions like that. Well, why? The kid says, Dad, I want to go to the show. All the kids are going to go over and see Frankenstein and the horror wolf and the werewolves and stuff like that. And father and mother says, well, you know, John, they'd probably be pretty exciting movies. Let's talk about them for a while. Let's see what they're all about. Now, number one, is it real? No, it's just a story. Number two, what is the purpose of the story? Oh, to get you excited, to make you really excited. And what happens when you get excited? Well, you just get all ready to do things. Well, you know what happens? Your adrenaline glands start flowing out the adrenaline at a very high rate. Your hypothalamus gland begins producing its substances, and all the glands of your body begin producing substances to fight or flight, to run away or to fight, flight or fight. And this is not good for your body. This causes your body to be out of control for a period of time. And then you drink Cokes and you eat popcorn, you do all these other things, and then on the way home you say, "Ooh!" You tell stories to each other to scare each other even more. Now, do you want to do that to your body? Why not go to some nice musical movie, you know, or some comedy that makes you laugh and makes you be happy over beautiful things? Why not go to a travelogue? You know, I talk to many people, and then I talk to many people, most of them are proud to tell me they watch the Discovery Channel, where it has all of these movies on learning things, knowledge and stuff like that. None of them tell me that they watch the porno films or they watch the sitcoms or watch these other things. They just say they watch Discovery. I mean, that is the cream of the cake, the ice cream, the what do you call it, the frosting on the cake. That's what they're talking about. And this is what we should talk about. We should talk about the things that are beautiful and good, the things that are uplifting and supportive in life. And as we do that, and with our children too, and with our little persons who are in our world. Now, we had a number of little people up here who wanted to drive the golf carts. And I said, that's fine, as long as you have an adult with you. After a certain age, you can drive without one. But remember, those are our golf carts that we use for getting around here. And if you use them carelessly, you're going to cause damage to them, and then we won't have it to get around. And then Odie will have to go off by her feet instead of in a nice golf cart. So we teach them to use good judgment. And they, well, I understand that. Now, what's going to happen to these little rascals when they start driving a car? They're going to start driving a car based upon the idea that they must be good drivers and drive carefully, that they must drive with wisdom. They must not damage the vehicle because it has other purposes besides what they're using it for at the moment. Now, you tell me one parent, one driver training teacher, who says remarks like that to his students. Tell me. They don't. Because they say, drive carefully. Now, you don't want to speed because you get a speeding ticket, you know, the cops will catch you. That's no reason not to speed. The reason not to speed is because the limit has been given to the speed at certain areas because that's what they consider to be sound driving. Not safe driving, but sound driving. Because cars of every nature can handle 15 miles an hour or 35 miles an hour or whatever, and can brake with if they see a pedestrian or if they see a child on the road in a certain distance, they can stop. See, it's just good judgment. And we're taught, oh, you got to watch the cops because they're out to get you. They're out to stop you. They're out to carry out the law. The law says drive a certain speed and only drive it. Now, you see, we're taught to go against the rules. And then we wonder why people go against the rules. We're given a very great gift and we misuse it. Now, what about you? Something for nothing is usually very expensive. So if you get driver training from somebody who doesn't charge you anything, now I mean it in this way, you're getting it very expensively. If your buddies are teaching you how to drive, and they're teaching you their crazy ways, their unstable ways, you're paying a very expensive price. If you are learning from your parents or your teacher training person who says, we drive because that's our privilege. The roads are here paid for by the taxpayers. And we are given the privilege of using the roads, and so we should know what the rules of the road are. And the rules of the road are guided by what everybody else does so that everyone can drive comfortably. Now, Dodie says, I'm going to drive on the left side, I don't care. I'm going to drive on the right side, I don't care. And Dodie says, I am so old that I can do whatever I please. And so, crunch. What happened? How come they crunch into me? Why'd they get out of my way? Because you didn't follow the rules. The rules are there for everybody and for everything. And if we don't follow the rules, it's not the rules' fault. It's not society's fault. It's our choice not to follow it. And we pay the penalty. Very expensive. Very expensive. Don't ever ask for something for nothing in this world. If you want a cheap thrill, go to a horror movie, You're going to pay for it very heavily. Your body is going to be tense. Your whole mind is going to be, oh, never bothers me. I go to these things all the time. Doesn't bother me. Of course not. You accept it as a way of life. You go to porno movies and go, 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 go. And pretty soon you accept it as a way of life. I would never want to be a minister who had the opportunity or responsibility, whatever you want to call it, to review movies, to find out if they're porno movies, and then say we shouldn't show them if they are not good movies. What happens to these people who watch these movies and movies and movies? Pretty soon they become that part of the thing. Whatever you watch, whatever you participate in life, that's what you become. And I think you can go around this whole campus here and you'll not find anything which is inharmonious with good thinking. Oh, you might find a naked picture of somebody, because that's the way we walk around here oftentimes. You might find, you won't even find pictures of guns. I mean, we just don't have any pictures of guns around here. We don't have any pictures of instruments of war or anything like that. We don't take any newspapers, so they don't come into our house that way. We have a few magazines, like Business Week or something, and they're pretty good, they're pretty clean. They have a few, but I usually read them and throw them away. And we just don't do that. We just don't do that. The magazines we have are quite uplifting and quite supportive of a positive way of life. But be careful, be careful. Anytime somebody wants to give you something for nothing, it's going to have a very big price tag on it. You are the only one who should give you a gift. And that gift should be of love, of peace, of power, of joy, of plenty, because that's who you are. And that's who I am. I love you very much. And that's why I bother to tell you these things that are not always nice to say. But you are what you think about. That is, you demonstrate it in your human world. In your divine self, you haven't even seen who you really are yet. The beauty, the wonder, the majesty of who you really are, you haven't really glimpsed at it at all. But you will. You will, and you will love it. And I love you.